Hello and welcome to Split Second presented by ZerkOps. I am Sean Whitfield and joining me today is a special co-host, and that is none other than the co-owner of ZerkOps, Ron Zerk. Hello, Ron.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, I am doing great. Thank you for joining us or joining me. Normally, your wife, Tammy Zerk, is in your seat today.
Yes.
However, she's taking a little time off. I tell you what, from getting to know you both well, and seeing the kind of schedule you both occupied, I can see where a day off is like a bar of gold. It's pretty valuable. You guys don't take off much time.
No, sir. We usually take off from work to work, usually how that works out.
Oh, yeah.
Take off work to work.
And you've basically got two careers, and we're going to dive into that in just a moment. But for folks that are listening, this is going to be an interesting podcast today. Ron is with the Chattanooga Police Department, and we're going to talk about some of his career. He's going to share with us how he began. Also, we're going to talk about some of the topics that you often see in local media, but you for sure see it in national media, and that is what it means when you start hearing people say defund the police and why that's not a good idea. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about what some of the problems are with education and the police officers across this country. And we're going to talk about why some police officers begin their career and then you suddenly notice that, hey, they're seeking other opportunities for a livelihood. So we're going to talk a lot of topics today about police officers. And folks, you can apply this topic and conversation that we're going to have with police officers, not only in Chattanooga, Tennessee, but in all 50 states across the country, because this is an ongoing problem and a challenge that police departments, sheriff's departments, and others are continuing to have in law enforcement. And then we'll also talk about some possible solutions. And so it's going to be a fun conversation, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, Ron, if you would share with us a little bit about how you got started in law enforcement. Where did it all begin?
Well, that's quite a lengthy story, but first of all, I'm Ron Zerk. I am an instructor, and I belong to Miss Tammy. I think that needs to be put into perspective first, as I belong to her, first of all. So, I started out in my police career 24 years ago. I started out inside the Hamilton County Jail. I spent almost 5 years in corrections, and that is a tremendously tough job. In my personal opinion, I think that every police officer should do at least 3 years in corrections before they're actually out on the road. It teaches you a lot of stuff about people, but it mostly teaches you about yourself. Mm-hmm. It really does teach you about de-escalation skills. It helps you to know about empathy and how you see people in their strife. You see a lot of people coming into jail who are multimillionaires, and you see people who don't have a penny. You see people with doctorates, and you see people with no education from one extreme to the other. And it really teaches you a lot about yourself and a lot about people in different backgrounds. So I would say 3 years of corrections division, even though corrections is tough. In my opinion, it's the toughest job in America. I spent almost 5 years, and I got an opportunity to go up to Toledo, which is the Tennessee Law Enforcement Training Academy up in Donelson. It's a boot camp that allows you to be certified as a police officer on the street. I was lucky enough to be the class president there. I did a speech in front of a whole bunch of folks. I came back here on patrol for Hamilton County. I got recruited by the Tennessee Highway Patrol to be a state trooper. I went back to Nashville for 6 months. I went through their boot camp. I got to be the class president, did a speech in front of the governor and a whole bunch of people. I went to work in Marion County, busted meth labs for the Marion County Sheriff's Department. That was rough and ready, getting to see meth labs firsthand and busting meth labs, containing those labs, decontamination process for those, tremendous. And then I got an opportunity to go work for the Chattanooga Police Department. I went through their police academy, got to be the class president, do a speech in front of a whole bunch of folks. And I went to work in the Fox Team area of Chattanooga, which is East Lake, 23rd Street, 4th Avenue, Russell Boulevard, turn on the news, and that's where I was.
That sounds like almost starting in corrections.
It's tough. There's a lot of beautiful
area of town.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of beautiful and wonderful people who are trapped socially and economic in that area. Mm-hmm. And just to be there and see it, I think that part of town gets a bad rap because of all the things that are going on. But a lot of the times, the people who are committing crimes in an area aren't from that area. And they actually go there to do their mischievous activities. Mm-hmm. And the people who live there get caught up in it.
Ron, before we continue, what year was it that you began your law enforcement career?
1997.
So
it's a long time.
And so when did you begin your career with the Chattanooga Police Department? Do you recall?
2005.
Yeah,
some of those dates you just can't forget.
Yeah. So from 97 to 2005, you experienced a lot in law enforcement. You sort of touched a little bit of everything.
Yes, sir. And I think that's what helps me to be an instructor these days is because I can call upon those experiences from other departments. Mm-hmm. I jokingly say, but it's really not a joke, that every police department is exactly the same. They have the same problems, the same issues, the same good, the same bad, the same management stuff, except the uniforms change mm-hmm. and the shapes of the badges.
Yeah.
You know, the colors of the uniforms and shapes of the badges seem to change, but they're still plagued with the same things. They still have the same challenges from one side of the coast to the next.
Mm-hmm. So you began working the streets in Chattanooga in 2005. You did that for how long?
In 2008, I went to the police academy as an instructor. And so I've been in the academy since then. I'm the senior master instructor there these days.
And why did you choose to come off the street and go into the academy?
Well, honestly, that's where I always wanted to be.
That was a goal you had early on.
Yes, sir. That was a goal. My father's a police officer. He actually retired with 55 years of law enforcement.
55 years?
55 years.
Wow.
I'm currently trying to get him to write a book, but you know how those...
Are you going to fall in the footsteps of 55 years?
Lord, I hope not.
I'd say Miss Tammy doesn't hope that either.
No, I don't.
She wants you home before then.
Yes, sir.
So you began in training, because that's a story that you don't hear too many times told by officers. Usually you hear where they advance up into various chains of command, I guess sergeant, lieutenant, captain, whatever. And I'm not too educated on all the different levels. But then also a detective. But it sounds like you had a talent and ambition that you wanted to be able to teach others how to be the best they can be in law enforcement. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that would be a fair assessment. I often have thought about why police, the occupation of being a police officer, is a career. Mm-hmm. It's actually a career. It's not a profession. And I often thought that if we could become more educated, maybe officers could have a profession instead of a career. And I often thought that maybe if we just became smarter, 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 we could, you know, like doctors, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned that there is so much to it and became fascinated. I'm just a big nerd, actually. I'm a super nerd when it comes to this stuff and training itself. Just the devil's in the details, right? That's the whole thing, is devil's always in the details, the minor details. Playing basketball, for example, dribbling is so much more important than shooting the, you know, 3 points. You know, just the simple basics, doing the basics better than anybody else makes you better, better, better. And that knowledge of knowing the basics better. Mm-hmm. And that's the key step in law enforcement. And I think that's the big problem with defund the police is education. And the first step in defunding is, of course, they're going to take away schools. And if you take away police schools, cop schools, we would call it cop schools, then what you're doing is just cutting the legs out from under them. So what you're doing is you're making more uneducated police officers, and they're more apt to make uneducated decisions, which mm-hmm. could land us on the world stage.
Yeah. So your day-to-day job is you're working at the Chattanooga Police Academy. Is that true?
Yes, sir. My day-to-day job is yelling and screaming at new recruits. I think they're going to cause me to have throat cancer.
So sort of describe what a week or a month is for you. I mean, and how does this work? Do you have like a class of recruits, and they come in for sort of like you would hear of the Army or military, where they'd be there for so many weeks? How does that work for people that are listening?
Well, it's quite an ordeal to be selected for recruit training. They have to go through testing, physical testing, written testing, psychological.
Background check.
Background check. It takes a minute to get there. It's not just like, I'm going to do this and I put in an application and I'll start to work tomorrow. It's actually it's kind of a heated process where you have to go through and pass before you finally land at recruit training.
So if you had 100 people register and want to become an officer, how many people are generally going to make it? They're going to pass all the bases.
I don't have those stats directly in front of me, but I would say less than half.
Yeah, that was going to be my guess, but I didn't know if I was anywhere close or not.
Less than half will make it in. And so if we have a recruit class of 50, we expect to lose a certain percent. We expect to lose 5 in the academy and 5 in recruit training. That's kind of a
Like it's similar to the military.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure the military could go with a lot of this same type of, specs, I guess you could say, or things of that sort. So you get the recruits in. What are some of the reasons in today's career world that we're not having as many men and women want to be a police officer as, say, back when you began? What are some of the reasons why? Is it low pay? Is it a lack of respect from the public? What are some of the things that you see?
I think those are all key elements. I think one of the biggest problems is blaring us right in the face is the expectation of the person themselves. The recruit that comes in has an expectation of what's going on, and they get that expectation from TV. Blue Bloods, TV shows, cop shows, stuff like that, and they think a certain way. And again, I guess that's kind of bolstered by media. This is what I see. This is what cops do. I know the whole thing. I know this already. I see it on TV. I watch cop videos. And they have no idea the process that it takes to get there. So I think they come into recruit training kind of star-eyed, and I don't think they know exactly what they're getting into. I know there was one individual that came in, and we always ask them on the first day, why are you here? And we video everything. Everything there is videotaped. I'm proud of the city of Chattanooga's recruit training system just to get in, and then the process itself. We're pretty tough. Some of the other places in the state are not. We still do stress inoculation, which is yelling and screaming and jumping up and down, and everything you do is wrong and all that kind of stuff. You know, it causes you to drive internally so that you can make those decisions so you can perform externally. And I think that that's a key role in modern police work is stress inoculation and just having some really thick, tough skin when it comes to what they say about you on the media. What your job performance is and what people say and do to you on the scene. So you have to have tough skin, you have to have a tough mind. So we do a lot of yelling and screaming and jumping up and down. These kids think we hate them. They're like my kids. They think I hate them. I actually love these kids like they belong to me. That's why I'm so passionate about this.
I was going to say, how often do you break one down to where they're just broken down and they can't go any further? Does that happen very often?
More than you would think. we've had some that's so confused that they can't figure out how to tuck their shirts in. But I mean, everything we do is programmed. It follows a program of breaking you down mentally, physically, building you up mentally, physically. Just kind of like the military you would see in the military.
Yeah. Say I ran into a police officer, young police officer. Say I ran into him in a convenience store. Maybe he's been on the force for a year or two. If I ask him, says, hey, what do you think about Ron Zirk? What do you think they'd say?
He's a knucklehead, probably. He yells and screams at me a lot. But the reason why I'm so passionate,
what would
about
you want him to say about you?
Well, I would just want them to know that I am extremely passionate about them individually. Their safety is my major concern, and that's why I really want to still be a police officer these days as an instructor, as I am very, very concerned about them physically and mentally and spiritually out there. It's tough out there. Mm-hmm. It is extremely tough. And as I am sitting in law enforcement, I've seen time start to change a bit in the focus. Again, these kids come in, they tell why they want to be there. I've had some kids come in and say that they want to be, and again, I use the word kids because I treat them like my kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're old enough to be my kids. They'll come in and they'll say stuff like, I want to be a police officer so I can go to work in a laboratory and solve crime like NCIS. Oh, what? Yeah, I want to. Yeah, you know there's no laboratory here, right? And they're like,
is that said very often?
It's said more than you would think. Wow. It's, and now you're just like, are you kidding me? And they're like, no, I want to go to work in a laboratory like NCIS and I want to solve crime. I'm like, there's no laboratory here, bud. And they're like, well, yeah, I've seen it on TV. And I'm like, yeah, you've seen it on TV. And so we jump and yell and jump up and down. And you're going to be directing traffic. You're going to be out there in the sleet and snow and rain, 1,000 degrees. And they're like, I don't want to do that. No kidding. You know, you're going to be going to domestic violence situations, car crashes. You're going to be going to some horrible things. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, I don't want to see that. And I'm like, you're no kidding. But that's what you signed up for. So I think the number one thing.
Do you ever ask them, if, are you sure you want to be here then?
We ask that on a daily basis. Yeah. And again, that's all in stress inoculation. Yeah. You have to be physically, mentally, and spiritually prepared for what you're going to see. And if we can keep on keeping on asking, are you going to quit? Are you going to quit? Are you going to quit? And they keep saying, no, 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 I'll never quit. That's the first step in making a really good police officer. They'll never quit. They'll stick in there through thick and thin, through the bad times, through the good times. And I think that, to answer your question from a minute ago, the first thing is they just, it's a misunderstanding, an illusion of what they're going to actually be doing. Mm-hmm. And then once they get in there, I cannot tell you how many recruits I've had who have completed recruit training and then went out to what we call the FTO, which is in the field training, and come back afterwards and sit down and say, you totally undersold this. You said that this is going to happen. I had no idea. I thought it was just a story. If citizens knew what was really going on out there, it would be in the fiction section of the bookstore because nobody would ever believe it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that didn't happen. Yeah, that really happened.
Yeah. I remember as a kid growing up, I was a young teen, and my uncle was a recruiter in the Marine Corps on Paris Island. And I remember asking him, his name was Denny, Uncle Denny, what's it like going through basic training in the Marine Corps as you are a drill sergeant and do training there? And he says, well, just imagine it's probably, as some soldiers would say, the closest place to hell. So I'm sure there's some days your officers are feeling that way. But it's real life.
Right. And that's the thing. And that goes back to the other question you asked me. Why am I doing this? Because I'm so afraid for them. I'm so afraid that they're going to get out there and not know what to do and do the wrong thing. Yeah. It could cost their life. It could cost someone else their life. Seeing things that I have to make them tough enough. It's not just me. There's a regiment of instructors there, each with their own specialties. And when we talked about earlier, too, this conversation is like, how do you eat the elephant? We're not eating an elephant. There's a herd of elephants on the table for us to discuss, and to stay on one topic is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
But there is a core of instructors, and those instructors have specialties. And that's what I'm seeing in law enforcement these days, is specialties. A generic police officer goes through 480 hours of training, 460 to 480 hours. That's basic for the state of Tennessee. And then a lot of places in the state of Tennessee don't have FTO programs. We're fortunate enough to have that in our area. We're fortunate to have an 18-week academy, and we're fortunate to have a 4-month FTO program. So our guys get a lot of training. And some of these border counties, some of these cities, they have 480 to 460 hours, depending on how it rolls. And that's all the training they have, period, to be a police officer. So you can imagine having under 500 training hours and being performing on, we might as well say, a world stage, because now with media, anything that you do, you'll be on the world stage in a second.
And everything's on video, it seems.
Everything. And when we look at a cosmetologist has 1,500 plus hours. So when you rank a cosmetologist versus a first day police officer, you know, one has 1,000 more hours of training.
Is there not state requirements, or is every city and county have their own set of guidelines?
Well, that is a state requirement. You have to have that amount of training hours.
500, you said?
It's under 500. I think it's 480 hours, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. It's 480 or 460.
And what is the city of Chattanooga's? Is it the same?
It's 18 weeks of 40 hours. That's roughly in my head what that's I'll have to get it.
If you're like me, we both need a calculator.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that big a nerd.
We'll cover that in the next segment. But I didn't know exactly how long it was, and that's interesting. It is actually, it is time for us to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation. I want to hear what Ron's thoughts are when he hears the statement made, defund the police. What his opinion is about that, and also talk about what are some of the reasons why officers are leaving law enforcement, officers that have served their time for a year, 2, 3 years, whatever it may be, and they've decided to get out of the law enforcement in business and go into other things. So my guest today is Ron Zirk, the owner or co-owner of Zirk Ops. We are going to continue this conversation after the break. I'm Sean Whitfield, and more Split Second presented by Zirk Ops to come after this brief message.
If you have turned the TV on in the past year, then I don't have to explain the importance of learning self-defense. Here at Zirk Ops, we offer classes for all ages, children, juniors, women only, co-ed, and seniors. All of our classes are handicap friendly. No matter your age, size, or physical fitness level, we have a class for you. It is important that you know how to defend yourself exactly as you are. Check out our classes at ZirkOps.com.
As we continue, I am Sean Whitfield along with Ron Zirk, the owner, co-owner of Zirk Ops. Tammy Zirk is generally with me. However, she is taking the day off, and she has her husband Ron here joining me in the studio. And we're talking about Ron's career in law enforcement. He is also an instructor at Zirk Ops. And a little bit later in our conversation, I wanted him to share with us sort of his responsibilities at Zirk Ops. But in the meantime, we're going to continue our conversation regarding what police officers that are coming out of training, what real life is going to be like. And Ron's been describing what it's like to have someone going through academy and the amount of hours that's required for the proper training to be a police officer. Ron, I've noticed here locally in the local media that it seems like the Hamilton County Sheriff's Department has been in dire need of officers. I think I saw in some news reports from Sheriff Hammond speaking, he was in need of he needed to hire 60 to 70 men or women. So is this the worst you've ever seen it? Seems like as a citizen, it's the worst I've ever seen it.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
It's Corrections Division, like I had said earlier, is, in my opinion, the worst job in America, simply because you're locked up too. You're locked up for 8+ hours a day in another world. Citizens don't realize that it's an entire subculture, terms and phrases and looks means different things in jail. Simple things that you don't have connotation to, like flying a kite to somebody or getting some zoos or some wham whams and stuff like that. Just terms and phrases that doesn't mean anything in the outside world, but on the inside world, it's a completely legitimately different world. I don't want to be a correctional officer. I did 5 years. It was, I think everybody should do 3 years to be a cop, like I'd said before. Mm-hmm. But that's tough stuff.
Are you aware of any incentives that is being offered by city and county governments to encourage men and women to become officers?
Well, and that's another problem. Like we discussed earlier, and I couldn't remember how many hours were there. It seems like Groundhog Day, right? Yelling and screaming. So in a police academy, running 800 to 820 hours mm-hmm. for certification, that's for road officers. When you talk about correction officers, that's only a few weeks of training. And those guys aren't certified road officers. So it's almost like they're one step under police officers, but they wear the same uniforms. So again, I worked for the county. I was a correctional officer, and my hat goes off to the men and women that do that. That's a tough job, and a lot of times maybe the pay isn't the same. Or
I was going to say the pay is what, probably in the upper 20s.
I just got changed now. I'm not sure. I know the city just got a big 24% raise that put us in the mid of the pay scale. Which is great for us, a little extra money coming to us. But nationally, we're still some of the lowest paid.
But like in the correction facility, like Silverdale, for example, that's all managed by Hamilton County, is it not?
Yes, sir. That's
the case. So the city of Chattanooga doesn't have any financial investment there, do they?
No, sir. We just drop people off there for incarceration.
Let them handle it from there.
Yes, sir.
So, wow, it gets to be very complex. Well, let's talk about some of the reasons that... Let's first start off, talk about some of the reasons that it's a struggle for city and county and state governments to recruit officers. I know just the other day I saw a PSA with Governor Lee where he was encouraging officers or people from all over the country to come to Tennessee and, you know, consider being, I guess it was with the Tennessee Highway Patrol. Did you see that the other day as well?
No, sir, but I do know they're low.
Yeah, and so let's talk about some of the reasons why it's such a challenge. I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is pay. Pay is very low. Then let's talk about the risk. The risk is extremely high as far as the safety of your own life. Then next, you turn on the television and you watch the national media and you see the things that are going on in Wisconsin and New York, and it seems like there's a lot of disrespect given to officers. And so I think there definitely needs to be a different I don't know what the word I would be looking for, but a different aspect looked upon from citizens to law enforcement, to where the level of respect in city governments, county governments, state governments decide that, hey, we've got to start making a more financial investment in the law enforcement, because the answer is not defund the police. The answer many times is, you know, put more in their budgets so they can attract more officers that want to come and make that their livelihood. And so when you think about defund the police, what comes to your mind? What do you think about?
Well, the first thing is the word defund automatically is meaning we're taking funds away from.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a successful businessman and you know you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's directly related to law enforcement. You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You need to attract young men and women with good skills. And in a modern world, those skills are changing by the minute in law enforcement. In a modern law enforcement, you need superheroes pretty basically. And we talked about having thick skin and having a thick mind, which means I can handle these calls. I can handle being scrutinized, and I can use that constructive criticism to make myself better, stronger, faster. But when you look at defunding, you look at taking away training programs. We talked about that earlier. Here, luckily, we have 800, 820 hours. And then we have the FTO program to help us. A lot of places in the state don't have it. A lot of places across the country don't have it. And like we were talking, most police departments are less time in classroom than cosmetologists. And that's a weird kind of way to look at it. Because we perceive cops to be in a different category or realm or different expertise than they actually are. So I think the number one thing is disillusioned. I think that's the reason why they don't stay. I think the reason why cops don't get into law enforcement or people don't get into law enforcement is because of the scrutiny on TV, the pay versus risk versus reward. Those are off. And I don't know if I want to go out there and get yelled and screamed at and shot at. And
yeah.
But there's a whole lot more to law enforcement than that. And I think we key in on negatives, especially the news. The news wants to key in on negatives because negatives sell. A positive don't sell. There's so much positive in law enforcement. In my opinion, there's more positives than there are negatives. But again, positive don't sell on the 6 o'clock news. If you're doing something positive, you're doing something good for the community, it doesn't get as much coverage as maybe something that you messed up on or you misspoke on something, and that can just get taken out of context. Mm-hmm. And be used against you for the rest of your career.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those positives. What comes to your mind when you think about the positives?
Well, again, you get called to some of the most heinous things you could possibly ever imagine. But sometimes it's just to help people out. People who might be suffering from mental illness or need a avenue to get help and don't know how to do it, don't know how to ask for it. Getting those people on the right track to medications and that therapy and stuff like that's humongous. Helping people, just something as simple as changing a tire and helping somebody get back on the road. Or maybe just a helping hand to say, hey, you good? Are you okay? And somebody notice you. Just simple things. I'm really big on devil's in the details. It's the little things that make the most difference. It's not the three-point shot. It's the dribble. It's the little things. Mm-hmm. Helping people out, noticing people, stopping and helping, again, like change a tire, or maybe stopping playing basketball with the kids on the street corner and getting to know them and letting them know you and break down those stereotypes that you might see on TV that's putting police officers at a disadvantage in the community because of maybe media stereotypes that this is the way cops do things. And I think that that's a big misstep. If you go in the community, especially here in our town, we get so much more praise and data boys and pats on the back. And like when I'm out in uniform somewhere, every time I'm out for lunch, somebody says something positive like, hey, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're working. And but that's not what they say on TV. But in the field, here, especially in our town, it's a little different. I think Chattanooga is a little bit more patriotic than most towns are. So the cops here, and not to say we don't take some punches here and there, of course. I mean, it is the way it is. But in my opinion, I have received more positive that a boys, glad you're here, stopping and talking to you, talking to kids. People bring their kids up and talk to you. You know, let them hop in the police car, turn the lights on, those kind of things. Yeah, that's those little positives go a long, long way.
And I bet a lot of those don't go on in your big cities like New York and Chicago. I mean, because when you see on the national news what the police departments are dealing with up there, it does look like they're living in a hell.
I would say, though, they get a lot of that of boys, too. And again, but we just don't know.
Yeah.
Because cops aren't going to tell you that. And that's just our jobs.
Yeah.
And so, but media is going to, oh, look what you did. You took five steps instead of six, or, you know, and just, again, misunderstanding of communications causes problems and issues. But we do get a lot of that of boys. There's a lot of people that are happy with us and our performance and what we do. And do cops make mistakes? Sure they do.
Yeah.
Is there some bad apples? Oh, absolutely.
When we when we talk about funding law enforcement, do you think that our city, county, and state government is funding mental health properly? Do you think that's an area that could be improved upon?
I'm not sure on how many dollars they spend. I know that we do receive education and stuff on helping with mental consumers who are having problems and issues. I know that we have a lot of education and stuff on de-escalation, and that's huge. I'm a use of force guy. That's my bread and butter is I'm a use of force expert. Mm-hmm. So I get to go into court and testify on excessive use of force cases and those kind of things. And again, I'm a huge super nerd on it. But when it comes to mental illness and police, there is a lot of mental illness out there. And cases arise from, I don't want to say byproduct, but the word I'm trying to say is because of and happenstance of a mental illness. A person's acting a certain way because of a mental illness or a crisis, or maybe they can't afford their medication, or maybe they haven't been diagnosed. So do we need more money, more funding on that? Sure. Education is key. The more education that police officers can get, especially in a modern world. And that's the whole trick. This isn't 1980. Mm-hmm. This is a modern world where you see more and more specialists. If you look at doctors, you see very few just general practice doctors. There's specialists in this and specialists in that. And you kind of see that in law enforcement. There's detectives that specialize in a certain kind of crime because it is so complex nowadays. The complexity of law enforcement is staggering.
Yeah, I could see where it would be. I had a friend of mine, this was about 10 years ago, he told me, he said, you know, you wouldn't believe some of the crazy calls that we get called upon in serving, you know, the community. And he said, there's a certain area of town, and I won't say where it is, but it's known to get the most calls for domestic violence. And he said, sometimes, you know, you feel like a marriage counselor trying to handle somebody's marriage when you don't want to have anything to do with it.
Well, it's very difficult to, in 5 minutes, fix something that took 40 years to create.
But yeah, yeah. So I can only imagine what it's like in the day-to-day world of a police officer?
Well, it's not what you see on TV. And mm-hmm. that's the thing, is back to the very first thing we discussed, is why do young people not want to do this? Or when they do it, why do they not stay? Mm-hmm. Money is a big thing. I mean, you can make more money doing less stressful jobs.
And don't most officers have a part-time job too?
Yes,
when they do become employed as an officer?
2 and 3, usually.
Yeah. So that kind of goes with the territory, it seems.
That's part of it. Yeah, that's exactly part of it. And some people just don't want to work that much. And younger people coming in, they don't seem to want to put those kind of hours into it.
Yeah.
They have social lives and social activities. Their priorities are different than, say, someone my age group. Just how it is.
Yeah.
That's just life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've enjoyed having this conversation with you, Ron. Anything else regarding police and law enforcement you want to be sure and share before we shift for just a moment and talk about ZERCOPS?
Yes, I would say that if you're looking at getting into it, first do a ride-along. I know with the city of Chattanooga, we have the opportunity for you to do ride-along programs. I know the county does as well.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your local police department, wherever you hear this podcast, just wherever you are, mm-hmm. go to your local law enforcement and see if there's a ride-along program, which means you just sit over there in the front seat and ride with them. It's an eye-opener. I wish that every civilian had to do X amount of hours a year. I think it would change the perception of law enforcement away from a TV Hollywood-based idea of police work to a real meat and potatoes, salt and pepper approach to this is real law enforcement. This is raw. This is human beings. This is raw stuff happening.
So for somebody that lives in the city limits of Chattanooga and would like to do that, just as simple as calling the Chattanooga Police Department and seeking information and getting registered?
Yes, sir. What you do is just call down to the general 698-2525 number. That puts you right in contact with dispatch, and just tell them what you're looking for, and they'll hook you up with the PIO. That'll get you headed in the right direction, and they'll get you in the programs. There's a lot of other programs that citizens can get involved in to help police programs. The PARC program, Police Action Review Committee, that comes in and watches police videos, shows transparency. You can see what they're doing in real time in actual active cases that are going on. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that people can do. There is a Leadership Chattanooga that we actually do skits and stuff for them. And by that, I mean we go through scenarios with them, and they get to see what cops are doing. They spend like a day with the police, a day with the fire. And the fire guys are awesome. We're actually in the same recruit training center. Fire is on one side and police on the other. So
yeah,
and those programs are available. The Citizens Academy, a lot of cities have a Citizens Academy, which is amazing. To get involved in that, and you go through actual classes that cops would go through, and it's really a game changer when you see it from the other side, the real, what's really going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I akin it to sports. You know, when I watch football, I watch all the fancy plays. You know, I see all the long bombs down the straightaways, and I see the kicks making it, you know, and I see the slant patterns working. But what I don't see is all the tackling dummies. And what I don't see is all the lifting weights for hours at a time and all the practicing and all the classroom training they go through. This is what we're going to do. So I akin that to the same thing. All you see is the product. You don't see what it took to make the product.
Sort of like you get to see the show, but you don't see all the rehearsing that went in to getting prepared for the show.
You get to eat the cake that you didn't have to make. And I think if more people saw the ingredients that goes into law enforcement. That's a great way, I guess, of saying it. If you saw the ingredients, then you would understand the situation and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very easy to be on sitting on the couch and watch something go on and have an opinion about it, but you weren't there.
Yeah.
I talk to people all the time about a concept of skin in the game. When skin's in the game, you play differently.
Mm-hmm.
If we're playing poker for the rent money, or we're playing poker because they don't have any value, the chips have no value, that's a completely different poker game.
Yeah.
And so when you're playing for your life or someone else's life, that's a completely different game.
Very well said. Well, Ron, thank you for the conversation regarding law enforcement. We'll pause that and take just a couple of minutes and discuss what you do at ZERCOPS. You and your wife, Tammy Zerk, began ZERCOPS, I think, about, 7 years ago?
Yes.
It first started off as just training. Now you've diversified into training and security. So tell us, what exactly is your role at ZERCOPS?
Well, like I said earlier, I belong to Miss Tammy, so I do what I'm told. I do a lot
and
of
you
doing
do that
what
well.
I'm told. Yes, sir. That's a good way to get to go home. She is the boss. That's the way it has to be for business. You know, when you're doing business, there can only be one boss.
Yeah, one chief.
That one chief runs the whole show, yeah. And what she says goes. But, I do a lot of the training for ZERCOPS. She puts me on the schedule. She develops the programs and the plans, and this is what we're going to do. This is the direction we're going to go in. When it comes to security guards, I develop the programs. I make the programs. Of course, that's what I do as a police officer. I build training programs. So it's a little easy for us because I already have that in my background. I'm able to do that. So I build the training programs and implement those programs to our security peoples. Also to the citizens that come in for regular classes like handgun carry permit classes and those kind of things, help facilitate those. The intermediate, the advanced and tactical pistol, rifle, shotgun things that we do, and the self-defense classes that we do, build lesson plans and programs to get that going.
So if there's somebody out there listening that's a small business owner or has a church or an event coming up and they need security, they can reach out to ZERCOPS and know that you're going to send a security guard out there that's going to have similar like training as what you do in your day-to-day job with the City of Chattanooga Police Department in training police officers.
That's funny you should say that, because that's the biggest stick that we get hit with. You train everybody like they're little cops. Yes, that's exactly what we do. Yeah. I develop every class they get is lesson planned. It's backed up with everything that we do and say, because, again, like modern law enforcement, anything you do could find yourself in litigation. The same thing with security guards. Again, it's not 1980 anymore. Security guards are going to have to be held to a higher standard to do more and more things. And litigation is going to be higher and higher for them. And if they get in a situation where they have to be going to go to court because of something they did or didn't do, said or didn't say, they need to be professionals with that. And that professionalism is going to come through their training. Back to that defunding. If you don't train your employees to perform, and then when they don't perform, whose fault's that? Back to just business.
Yeah.
If you want somebody to be good in business and you want to be good at their job, you have to spend some resources on them to get them to that position.
Yeah. And it really separates those companies that send someone out that's in uniform, that sets up a good show, or those that are in uniform but have also been properly trained, and they're going to be able to take care of an unfortunate situation if it were to occur. And that's what ZERCOPS has created, is a group of men and women working security that's going to be able to take care of all of their security needs. Because you guys, you're doing events, you're doing small and large companies, you're doing a variety of different locations and security for people.
Yes, sir.
It's really grown, and I find it very fascinating what y'all have been able to build. And you wouldn't continue to show success in your business if you weren't doing business the right way. So, folks, if you're out there listening and you're in need of any of this, just keep that in mind. The old saying, you get what you pay for. And it goes the same for hiring security. So, Ron, it is time for us to come to a close. Any final words before we wrap up today's podcast?
No, sir. I have plenty more material for us to do. Use the force later if I can nerd you out.
Well, we'll say this was part one. You and I will get back together and we'll have part two, part three, and we'll continue the conversation, because there certainly is plenty to discuss. And again, thank you for coming in the studio and filling in for the chief.
Yes,
Ms.
sir.
Tammy.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being with you.
You're quite welcome. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of Split Second presented by ZERCOPS. Go to the ZERCOPS Facebook page for any suggestions or comments about today's podcast. Be sure to click the subscribe button for all future podcasts. I am Sean Whitfield. Thank you for listening, and be sure and check out their website, ZERCOPS.com.